Good morning. Happy New Year to everybody. We'd like to encourage everyone to please sign the friendship register at the end of the row and pass it on down for your neighbors to sign as well. If this is your first visit to Berea Christian Church this morning, we want to say a special word of welcome to you, and we'd like to invite you to visit with us at the back of the church following our service today. We'll be back there shaking some hands. If you would drop by and let us know it's your first visit, we'd be honored to share a small gift with you before you leave today. If you're an elder, deacon, or junior deacon, please plan to attend one of the training sessions coming up in the sanctuary during the Sunday school hour on Sunday, January 12th or the 26th, or on Monday evening, January 13th at 7 o'clock. We'll be reviewing the procedures for preparing and serving the Lord's Supper on Sunday mornings. A flyer in this morning's bulletin marks the official beginning of our 2020 pledge drive, as we hope to raise the funds to make it possible to employ a youth director for our youngest among us. There are some important meetings coming up in January that are discussed in the flyer. Please, if you would, read through that flyer and so that you may understand our present endeavors towards our aspirations for a youth director. You might have seen some of the poinsettias in the back. If you ordered a poinsettia prior to Christmas and have not picked it up yet, please do so today. There's about 10 or 15 back there, I believe, that are looking to be adopted into a good home. So if you haven't picked yours up, please do so today. There's sign-up sheets on the back table for scripture readers and greeters, among other things. Please consider joining one of these ministries, if you would. There's also a note in the bulletin from our church clerk, Jerry Donahue. He's looking for some folks who have been around Berea for a while to help update some of our historical records. If that sounds like something you'd like to do, please contact Jerry. And please also consider joining our van ministries. We currently have more folks who need rides than we have room for in our van, so we have to make multiple trips in multiple vehicles. And with only a few of us driving, it becomes quite a bit of a challenge every Sunday morning. So please let us know if you would like to join that ministry. Just contact me or the church office. Do we have any other announcements this morning? Yes, ma'am. Right. Yeah, there's that little annoying thing called our insurance company. They have decided to put a limit on the age of our van drivers. They have to be 70 or below, or below 70, actually. Thank you, Kathy. All right, Andrew.
Please rise for the call to worship. Praise the Lord. How wonderful are the things the Lord does.
All who are delighted
in Him want to understand Him. All He does is full of honor and majesty. His righteousness is eternal. Let us sing hymn number 175, all stanzas.
Star in the sky, banishing the night. Shine down and hollow us, light up our path. Star shining in the east, be our true guide. Lead us to Bethlehem, where the child lies. Royal child lying there, manger for a bed, with all the animals sleeping in hay. Angels sing reverently, worship the child, lowly in majesty, ruler of all. What can we do to show our devotion true? shall we present to him sweet-smelling gifts. Far mountains, frankincense, sandalwood, myrrh. Shall it be precious gold, pearls from the sea? None of these things of price would give Jesus joy. How then will we express thanks for his birth? One present, one alone, Christ would desire. Love from our deepest heart, our own best love.
Thank you, Ariana, for being our acolyte this morning. May we bow in a moment of prayer. Lord God, we do give thanks for this first opportunity to gather in a new year as a congregation of Berry Christian Church. We look forward to new journeys in this new year, and we choose to begin the year here in this place, in your house. Oh Lord, we seek your presence now as we begin our worship service. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen. Take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you this morning. All right, please be seated. We'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon while we sing the first verse of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus, I love to hear things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning. No. Let's try that again. Good morning. Much better. Hey, most of these kids are in my class. I know what kind of voices they have. Anyway, so tomorrow's kind of a special day. Do you know what day it is tomorrow? What's going on tomorrow? There is that. They say school with these long faces, and the parents are out here going, school? Yeah, it's school. It's back. They've been home for 2 weeks. It's time they go home. Go back. Yes, there is that. But that's not what I was talking about, actually. Although it's a grand thing. Tomorrow is what we call Epiphany. Do you know what Epiphany is? I didn't know for a long time either. It's not one of those things. It's not one of those Christian days that we celebrate a lot. They used to, but not so much anymore. The Epiphany is the end of the official Christmas season. Christmas season goes from Christmas Day to January 5th. Do you know how many days that is? 12. 12 days. There you got it. We got a song about that, huh? Yeah. But do you know that every verse in that song has something to do with Christianity? But most of the people out there don't actually know it either. First day of Christmas. What's on the first day of Christmas? My true love gift? A partridge in a pear tree. Stands is a symbol for Jesus. Because partridge is one bird that will actually sacrifice itself to save its offspring, to save its children, just like Jesus sacrificed himself to save us. Every verse relates to something. Verse 2 stands for the Old and New Testament. Verse 3, faith, hope, love. Both. Verse 4, the four Gospels. What are the four Gospels? We've been through this. You know it. I know you do. Very good. Excellent. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Verse 5, Pentateuch. What's Pentateuch? Gospels are the four books, the first books of the New Testament. Pentateuch is verse 5 of the Old Testament, Jewish law. That's how we study it. It's just like, every one of them relate to that. What do you suppose 10 stands for? Come on, engage those little brains. Has to do with Moses and tablets and a mountain. And oh, come on, guys. Nice try. No. Moses and the 10 commandments. Oh, yeah, there's that. Now I got it. So, yes, Epiphany is the end of old Christian and Catholics, Orthodox, used to celebrate Christmas for 12 days. Started on Christmas morning, went till January 5th. Epiphany is the end of that. It celebrates when the Magi actually saw Jesus, and when Jesus was presented to the world. Because Jewish law says that boys have to have this period before they get presented, before they get named, before they get presented to the world. And that's what that is. Would you like to celebrate Christmas for 12 days? Yeah, that'd be great, wouldn't it, folks? As if one day of y'all having paper everywhere isn't enough. Yeah. Yeah. So, that's what Epiphany is. It's the end, the official end of the Christmas holiday. So, sorry, not only do you have to go back to school, but Christmas is officially over. Yeah, well, I'm telling you. This is the fifth today. Epiphany's always the sixth. Okay, can we have a little bit of a prayer? Dearest Heavenly Father, thank you for these children. Thank you for this season of Christmas that we have been able to enjoy with family and friends, but especially with your love given to us every day. Help us to always remember that you are here with us every day, not just during the Christmas season. May we go out into the world and spread joy, spread your love. Be with us as we continue on our week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As we go to God in prayer, a number of people for us to lift up today. Katie would like for us to first of all remember her cousin. His name is Dale Sloniker, and he is serving as a U.S. Army physician in Baghdad. And if you've been following the news, you understand that circumstances in Baghdad and in particular, and also in Iraq overall, have certainly become quite a concern here as of recent days. So please, we lift up Dale Sloniker as well as all our other military and civilian personnel in that part of the Middle East. We lift up Klaus Stark's sister in the midst of illness, and we also celebrate that Anna Egret is with us this morning. We continue to lift up Glenn Bartley in prayer, and in the midst of his recovery, we remember David Haynes and his health concerns. Jill McCombie's also making a good recovery from recent surgery. We lift up Robin Egret. We also lift up Gail Rollers. He was able to be at the 8:30 service and making good progress as well. Rihanna Ralston and Michelle Jacobo and Arlita White's sister, Mary Triplett, are also in our prayers among others. So may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. As 2019 appeared dimmer in the rearview mirror, and as the new year of 2020 lies in the pathway before us, O God, we recognize that even though the only major thing changing is the year of the calendar, we appreciate how it has often been your desire to renew much within our hearts and minds as we make our way through life's journey. We remember how you began the calendar anew as you created the ceremony of the Passover as a symbolic way for the Hebrew people to leave Egyptian bondage in their past and follow you as they would be dependent upon your everyday care as they made their way through the wilderness. For as the prophet stated in Isaiah chapter 43, "Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." We remember, O God, that your Son came into the world to wipe away the transgressions of our sins, and he offers us, one and all, the privilege to leave behind our sinful ways and begin a new and living relationship with you as we commit ourselves to a new life in Christ. For as the prophet also reminds us in Isaiah chapter 43, that you remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. And no matter what challenges we may face in our earthly lives, we realize that a great victory has already been won over sin, and we are destined to find great renewal in your eternal presence. For as we are told in Revelation chapter 21, he who is seated on the throne has said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Thus, as each of us make our way through these first days of this new year of 2020, May it be with hearts filled with hope that we embrace each new day of life that you grant to us along life's journey. This we pray, as we also recite the prayer that our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And Katie, we thank you for coming forward and reading our scripture this morning.
A reading from John chapter 15, verses 5 through 11 can be found in your Pew Bible, page 985. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete.
As we bring in the new year of 2020, we realize in Christ that all things can indeed be new. For as 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 states, when anyone is joined to Christ, he is a new being. The old is gone and the new has come. And then in verse 18, the text says, all this is done by God who through Christ changed us from enemies into his friends and gave us the task of making others his friends also. In the big box stores, the big plastic containers now occupy the shelves that once held Christmas decorations. And the diet and fitness advertisements tell us that this is the time of year for cleaning up the old and dedicating ourselves to renewal. But the verse from 2 Corinthians reminds us that the greatest renewal comes from our relationship with God in Jesus Christ. For when anyone is joined in Christ, that person is indeed a new being. The old life of sinfulness is gone, and the new life of freedom from guilt and shame springs forth. And all this is done by the magnificent grace of our loving God, who through Christ changed us from enemies into friends. This we celebrate every Sunday as we partake in the elements of the bread and cup of the Lord's table. May we prepare our hearts as we turn to our communion hymn. It's hymn number 384, as we sing all stanzas of Here at Thy Table, Lord, 384.
At thy table, Lord, this sacred hour, oh, let us feel thee near in loving power, calling our thoughts away from self and sin, as to thy banquet hall we enter in. Sit at the feast, dear Lord, break thou the bread, fill thou the cup that brings life to the dead, that we may find in thee pardon and peace, and from all bondage win a full release. Come then, O holy Christ, feed us, we pray. Touch with thy pierced hand each common day, making this earthly life full of thy grace, till in the home of heaven we find our place.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Doug leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we gather at your table this morning with thankful hearts, thanking you for your Son, Jesus, who died on the cross to save our sins. As we partake of these emblems, may us be reminded and renewed that Jesus is there for us, our sins are forgiven, and eternal life is to come. In this we pray. Amen.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. A quick research of the Bible reveals that the word give is used 1,488 times. In the first book of Genesis, give is used 88 times. Most often in Genesis, the word references something or some way in which God is giving or providing for humanity, starting with the various aspects of the universe and our planet Earth, and continuing through the theme of God's giving grace and mercy to us all. In the New Testament, the Greek word for give is didymai, which simply means to offer up or to render. In grateful response to the many ways that our loving God has given to us, may we be compelled to give back to God as Gail leads us in a word of prayer and as we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of this day, the gift of a new year before us, and we thank you that we may come now and give back a portion of what you have so richly blessed us with. Please bless these gifts and the people that will receive them and the programs that will benefit by them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your purposes now and always. In the name of Christ, we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. You know, there's just something wonderful about being in the sanctuary during the winter time on a clear Sunday morning, and that is that the folks who sit up here, we get the most outstanding view of this window. For those of you that are further back, after the service, just come on up here and take a look. Just stand here. The faceted portions of that glass just really stand out during the winter season. It's just too bad the sanctuary is not turned the other way. You'd get the benefit of it. May we bow our heads in prayer. Gracious God, we're privileged to be in your house this first Sunday of the new year as we make our way through this journey of 2020. We know that your Spirit desires to guide us in ways that we can bring glory to your kingdom and for the privilege to be a part of your ministry. We're indeed grateful. It's in Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. So here we are, not only at the beginning of a new year, we're at the beginning of a new decade, are we not? And yet, as we are, isn't it so easy for us to want to look back and assess how things have been through this last year or this last decade, where at the same time we begin to wonder, well, has it turned out like we were hoping things would? Were there more joys or more sorrows or disappointments? Has life turned out the way we were hoping it would when we were younger? I was thinking about that the other day. One thing I did not count on when I was in my teens, you know how you lie in bed and wonder how your life was going to turn out? I wasn't counting on so much of one thing: pain. And some of you know what I mean. That was not factored in to the plan. But boy, it often makes up a big part of many people's lives, right? Pain. Just living with pain. But looking back or looking forward, we may often pause and wonder, what would it be like if we could just grant wishes? You know, make some of those difficult things just kind of go away, or make possibilities happen for people. Or have you ever imagined what would be your greatest wish if it could be possible? Would your wish center around something? Would it center around someone? Or would it be the fulfillment of some lifelong aspiration? What would it feel like if you could grant other people's wishes? And as a pastor, you know, over the many years, there's been so many times people have come to me with certain problems. I just wish I could wave a magic wand and make things happen for them. But unfortunately, I don't have that magic wand. But back in the 1990s, a marketing director at a computer software company named Bob Haverstick was looking for some sense of purpose for the second half of his life. At that job that he had, he also happened to manage the firm's community outreach program, and that prompted him to wonder what it could be like if he could grant wishes for people on a full-time basis. So his wife, Kathy, supported him financially while he put together a nonprofit organization of volunteers with one mission at hand, and that was to fulfill wishes for senior adults who were in terminally ill circumstances. Now, we know the Make-A-Wish Foundation helps mostly who? Children, mostly children. This organization, it's called the Never Too Late Foundation, was founded to help elderly people who were facing terminal circumstances. A 93-year-old woman was a great baseball player in her youth. The Never Too Late Foundation sent her to physical therapy so she could hit a baseball one more time. And so, at a game in Indianapolis, Indiana, she hit that ball so well that the crowd just roared, and she got her wish granted. In 1937, Louis Schulte was 16 years of age, and he began to serve as a volunteer firefighter, thus getting into the Indianapolis Motor Speedway for free, as he was a volunteer for them as well. This hooked him for life, watching the race year after year. But what would it be like to actually be seated in a Formula One racer and to go around that track? And so the Never Too Late Foundation provided the funds for him to ride in a two-seat Indy car around the brickyard. And his lifelong wish became true at the age of 88. I think that's something I'd rather do in my 20s. Wouldn't you? At 88, I think that would be a pretty rough ride. Our text that was read to you earlier by Katie. John chapter 15, the latter portion of verse 7 tells us that you will ask for anything you wish, and you shall have it. But wait a minute, does that mean anything? You know, years ago, I knew a young man, he looked at this particular text and he said, that means God's going to grant my wish for a Cadillac. At his income level and with his resources, I don't imagine that came true. But the key to this text is that the anything needs to be centered on granting wishes around one's relationship with Christ. So let us take a look at the text a little closer. Let's back up. Verse 5. Jesus says, I am the vine, and you folks, you're the branches. Now, in biblical times, the grapevine was the national symbol for the land of Israel. And there was a gold decoration on the exterior of Solomon's temple of a grapevine with grapes and leaves and all, of course, all the accoutrements, if you will. It was a privilege among the wealthiest to be able to provide the gold for a new cluster of grapes if you were wealthy enough, or maybe even just enough gold for a single grape on that temple wall. Again, grapevine being the national symbol for Israel. You could see how that was a precious imagery for them. The text continues, verse 5, whoever remains in me, Jesus said, and I in him, that person will bear much fruit, for you can do nothing without me. As the text continues with verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, then you will ask for anything you wish, and you will have it. Yet this asking for anything does not refer to asking for anything that is centered upon one's self-interest, but rather on the interest of one who is centered first and foremost on Christ, or Christ's ways, or Christ's attitude. It means to be centered on God's intentions, not one's personal desires. It's like if you are wishing for a good marriage, it's just not so you can be happy. It's so that your spouse can be happy. Or you think about a harmonious family, it's not just so you can live more of a trouble-free environment, if you will, but more to be focused on the needs of the family, not your own selfish wants and wishes. Now you see, as the text continues, however, there's also a warning mentioned in this imagery of the grapevine. When we find ourselves centered on our own intentions, look at verse 6. Whoever does not remain in me is thrown out like a branch and dries up. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire, where they will be burned. I asked this question of the first service. I'll ask it of you too. Have any of you ever raised grapes? Had a grapevine? Carrie has, because of Oregon, that was easy. And y'all had one. Anybody else? Okay. So some of you who've had grapevines and raised them, you know, we did too when I was a kid down in San Antonio. My father and I built an arbor about 14 feet by 14 feet square. And big enough, we put a swing in the middle of it, and lattice work on the sides as well as on the top. My father was determined he could grow enough Concord grapes to make jelly. Oh, we never really got there. We got to the point where we grew enough that we could eat them. And the birds did too. But the truth of the matter is, if you raise grapevines, you know that there's two different kinds of vines. There's the ones that'll travel along and they'll go forever. And won't be a single cluster of grapes on them. Then there'll be others that do have clusters of grapes. Now, in biblical times,
Those non-bearing vines, especially in Palestine, you know, where water is such a precious resource, you did not let non-producing vines grow just for the sake of letting them grow, because it's a waste of the water and the other nutrients that makes that plant thrive. So those vines are pruned back quickly. I think in the case of San Antonio, we just let it all grow because at least it shaded us when we were sitting in the swing. That worked okay. But not only were these particular useless vines cut off quickly, but what we understand from the tradition and from the text is that those would be cast into just a bonfire. Again, those vines were so useless, they didn't even make good kindling to start a fire. So absolutely useless. We don't want to be useless, do we? Being caught up in our own stuff day to day. So even as the new year of 2020 lies before us, we are challenged with the question, do we find our lives centered on our own aspirations? If this is the case, with the transient nature of the human existence that we live in, we may find ourselves gravely dismayed, disappointed, and ultimately feeling rather empty, right? Because all the whims and wishes of earthly existence, it's pretty transient and temporal. Yet, if we strive to be in Christ and allow Christ in us, we will discover that our greatest aspirations and joys will be centered not on the materialistic aspects of day-to-day living, but rather on the spiritual and Christ-centered ways. For here's the ultimate truth. No matter where we are along life's journey, everyone is on a march to our departure from this earth. And that'll be a departure either with regret or fear, or it will be one of glorious anticipation toward the eternal. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 tells us, "You have been raised to life with Christ, so set your heart on the things that are in heaven, where Christ sits on his throne, at the right side of God. Keep your minds fixed on those things, not on things here on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Your real life is Christ. And when he appears, then you too will appear with him, and you will share his glory." And those final verses of John chapter 15 that Katie read to you earlier, verse 8 through 11, "My Father's glory is shown by you bearing much fruit, and in this way you become my disciples. I love you just as the Father loves me, and remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete." Yes, the beginning of the new year is a time of assessment. We wonder how things may be. We may aspire to many things, but may we truly aspire to be Christ-like in all we do and say. For if we do that, Christ's joy will be complete in us. Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, maybe today is that day you need to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Or maybe today is your day to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation to you as we sing hymn number 632, stanzas 1, and then the last stanza, "Lead On, O King Eternal," number 632. May we stand and sing.
Eternal, the day of March
has come. Henceforth in fields of conquest, thy tent shall be our home. Through days of preparation, thy grace has made us strong. And now, O King Eternal, we lift our battle song.
Good to see you.
Lead on, O King Eternal, we follow not with fears. For gladness breaks like morning where'er thy face appears. Thy cross is lifted o'er us, we journey in its light. The crown awaits the conquest, lead on, O God Almighty.
Let's do that, Dorothy. Please have a seat. Thank you. Thank you so much. Talia, thank you. God bless you. We want to celebrate the fact that Delidia has decided that she would like to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. Delidia has been living just across the way here from us, and we're delighted that you've been present with us on several different occasions, right, Delidia?
Yes, sir.
But again, I want to ask you, I know you've been baptized and made your confession, but I do again want to extend the hand of Christian fellowship, and I ask you again, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ as you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I do.
God bless you, Delidia. We thank you. And it's our joy and privilege to welcome you,
thank you,
into the fellowship here at Berry Christian Church, Delidia. God bless you. Thank you. Let's give her a hand. Thank you so much. Thank you. And before we depart, I do want to remind everybody, please read the flyer that's in your bulletin. Again, this is our official kickoff of the campaign for the fundraising for our youth director position. You know, we did the campaign during the summer, but now's our time to say, okay, now we're getting serious about striving to raise the funds for that part-time position based upon the commitments that were made during the summertime. And again, we've got some important meetings coming up, a couple of Thursdays where our regional minister is going to be meeting with some of our key leadership of the congregation. And then the Sunday of the 19th, that not only is going to be a after 11 o'clock service fellowship lunch, that'll be our thank you for the turkey dinner, you know, that we do every January, but that particular meal, after we finish it, our regional minister, Bill Rosheim, will also be meeting with everybody present. We'll be breaking up into some small groups and doing some discussion, and the whole purpose of those three main meetings is to help us develop the paperwork, if you will, that's going to be used to help us get our name out to prospective candidates for the position once we determine that we feel that we've got the appropriate funding. So please take the flyer and read through that. Keep that with you as you go through the week. May we bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, we're grateful for the day. Guide us as we journey forward, and we pray for your Spirit's blessing to be with Delidia, with her daughter and other family members. Lord, we just pray for great comfort and renewal and guidance day by day. And as all of us begin our journey here in this new year, we know your Holy Spirit is with us to give us strength, renewal, and to guide us in ways that we can bring glory to your kingdom. For this we are indeed grateful. And guide us as we depart. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
O Christ, the way, the truth, the life, be with us now, we pray. Direct our steps as we go forth to do your will this day. O faithful guide, renew our trust in love that does not fail, and give us strength to work and pray that peace may soon prevail.